Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the bay that scare ya. Machado, Orbado, or Nolan Garantano.
Teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alazric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
We are entering week 24. What's up? Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Oh yeah, Adam Azer, Scott White here, going to help you set your lineup, going to help you win your semifinals or your finals. Go ahead and win a championship out there in fantasy baseball land. Yo, what's up, Scott?
Go ahead and win one, yeah. Why not?
Win two.
Win three.
Sure, that'd be nice. Guess what? I'm going to win zero this year.
What?
Yeah, I'm...
Adam.
I'm pissed.
Have you been listening to this podcast?
A little bit. My last league that I had any hope of winning, I lost yesterday. I was doing great. Had a really nice lead going into the weekend, and then had my opponent, Rich Hill's Blister, had a great weekend, thanks to partially Rich Hill. This is kind of a bummer. I'm going to ask you who you added and dropped. I can't really contribute to that. I'm not adding and dropping anybody.
Yeah, well. I mean, you're not at least trying your hardest in the Roto League still?
I'm in two Roto Leagues. One of them, no. I basically don't care. I'll set a lineup.
Okay.
The other
All
one,
right.
Yeah, I'm trying. I looked around. I didn't see anyone I desperately wanted.
Okay.
I think I picked up somebody. Whatever. Who did you add and drop? That's what I really want to know. If I were playing, who should I add and drop?
Well, it turns out Mike Fultonevich is a two-star pitcher after all, so he was somebody I was adding later in the weekend. When others didn't beat me to him, because I think he's definitely earned pretty much must start status when he's making two starts like this week.
Really?
I think so. He's been reliable lately, and pretty good strikeout rate.
Okay.
Better than most of the two start option that you'll find are actually available, because as much as we talked about Matt Boyd being a two-start option, and oh, he's safe because he's scheduled for Tuesday. Well, no, he's not. Now Daniel Norris is pitching on Monday. Wait, I said that wrong.
Yeah.
Boyd is safe because he's pitching on Monday, but no, he's not. Daniel Norris is pitching on Monday, so now Matt Boyd with the Tigers six-man rotations looks like just a one-start option again, and not a very attractive one at that. So, the mining the two-start options was pretty tough. Ivan Nova, I was able to grab him in a couple leagues, but now he's close to 80% owned, so you may have missed your chance for that one at this point. Jose De Leon is 66% owned, and I'm all about starting him this week, so he was another one. And you know what? Jung Ho Kang is actually much more available, I think even more available than De Leon there, and he's now started six straight games for the Pirates. Didn't do that. He didn't have one other stretch this season where he started six straight games. So before he was on the DL, this most recent stint never happened. And now all of a sudden he's their everyday third baseman. So that's a great thing. He's shown plenty of power all year. Somebody asked me on Twitter, actually just a little before we started recording, would I go with Correa or Gong this week? And Correa, dealing with that shoulder issue, was removed early Sunday for precautionary reasons, I guess, but there's enough doubt in my mind, and Gong's rolling on a good enough roll right now that I actually told him to sit Correa instead. So that's how much I like Gong. I'm not saying every Correa owner should sit him, but for Gong, I'm all about that.
Yeah, it was very strange. Correa came back in the lineup. I think he only got one at bat, maybe two plate appearances, and was removed for I believe Tyler White, and that was a little surprising. So maybe they're just being cautious with him, but I could see the trepidation there if you own Carlos Correa and you're wondering who to start. Jung Ho Kang, fire it up. Now, you gave some two-star pitchers. I have some one-star pitchers that I would certainly strongly consider two of them, maybe consider the third one. These guys went over the weekend here. Eduardo Rodriguez, I watched the Blue Jays and Red Sox game, a lot of it, on Saturday. I think it was Tom Verducci on the call. And he said that, you know, we knew about the tipping the pitches, but he actually illustrated it. his glove. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez was changing the angle of his glove when he was throwing a fastball or a changeup. Not sure if there were other pitches involved. And he was getting hammered. And really, he's been pretty good since after the All-Star break when he got called back up. And Rodriguez ran into a little bit of bad luck in that start against the Blue Jays and ended up with a quality start. So he's got the Yankees. He has faced the Yankees twice since making the adjustments. And he's dominated them both times. Now, that was before the Yankees became everybody, America's team, Sky, and everybody's favorite. But yeah. I still like Rodriguez. And then you got two Marlins guys, Tom Kohler and Jose Urena. They are at Philadelphia, much more comfortable with Kohler, even coming off a bad start. But the Phillies just can't hit at all right now. So those are one-star guys I would consider. What do you think about them?
Well, I mean, I'm not particularly excited about any of them, but I understand if your options are limited. I mean, you make some good points. I don't think if the choice is them or nothing, they're going to do negative for you.
Arena might. I'd have to be in a pretty deep league to go with him. He had a great start this weekend.
He did. Almost a complete game, 8 2/3 innings, and has had a few good ones in a row. Most of them have been more of the six inning variety, but not much of a bat misser. He talked about after this last start, the difference was he had an improved curveball and I was throwing it more against left-handers. I looked at the game log. He hasn't been throwing his curveball anymore. So I don't really see reason to buy into Urania unless you're just trying to get the hot hand. By the way, I know Baseball Reference puts Arena as the pronunciation, but it is an Inye, isn't it?
I've always heard it as Arena on the broadcast.
Okay. I'll start saying Arena.
Arena by parade.
I feel like when you see his name in the box score, it puts the little squiggle over the N. So.
I don't think so. I think that's totally in your head, Scott.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so the Phillies, the Marlins get the Phillies this week, Arena and Kohler. I think the difference between a guy like Phelps and a guy like Kohler, and then Arena, it's like you said, Phelps and Kohler were getting swings and misses. Arena struck out 4 8 2/3. He's got 50 strikeouts and 73 2/3 on the season. It's a little harder to trust. Also, Christian Friedrich had a brilliant start over the weekend, but forget it. If he starts again, he's at Colorado this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy too much into that one start anyway. But on the subject of Phelps, I actually dropped him when he came off the DL in all my leagues because it's not like he was able to have a rehab assignment. It's not clear when he's starting, right? If he's even going to.
He's going, apparently David Phelps is going to begin in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And maybe work his way back into the rotation. Wei-Yin Chen could be back in the rotation for the Marlins. This is the Marlins podcast, Scott.
Apparently.
But they're extremely relevant. You said you're going to drop Phelps, but
I did. Actually, he came off my DL yesterday, and so as I went through setting my lineups, it was like okay, I can't, there's nobody on my roster more droppable than David Phelps. I can't just wait around for him to maybe enter the starting rotation and give me 4 or 5 innings. You know, that's what I feel like it would be.
Now I'm going to cut you off like a New York driver, and I'm going to say AJ Ramos, maybe he's back to being the closer. Now, kind of interesting because Ramos is still injured. He has like a broken finger, basically. He's had to adjust the grip on his pitches. But Fernando Rodney blew a save on Friday, and Ramos got the save on Friday in relief of Rodney, and then Ramos got the save on Sunday. It was a one-out save. Meanwhile, Santiago Casilla is out in San Francisco. They're going to, I don't know, mix it up in the ninth inning. Hunter Strickland got the save. Who do you want to pick up in the bullpen?
I'd go for Ramos before I went for Strickland, because it sounds like the Giants situation is a mess. And in terms of ability, nobody really stands out there. They're all fine. I feel like several of the relievers could close capably, Strickland included. But Derek Law is about to return from the DL, and Bruce Bochy actually mentioned him specifically as somebody who he might mix into the ninth inning. He has a better ERA than Strickland. It's probably been the best reliever for the Giants overall, but it's not like he's this big time bat misser, obvious ninth inning guy either. So him or Strickland, they would probably be my top two choices, but there's also Sergio Romo there, of course. I don't think it's unthinkable that, you know, after a week of not closing, he goes right back to Casilla in the ninth inning. So just it's you know, you'd have to be pretty desperate for saves, I think, to really dip into that until a clear front runner emerges. Ramos, it's not for sure that he's back to closing for the Marlins, but there were some hints of it even before he got this save on Sunday. And, you know, there's only one other option there, so that makes it a little easier.
So some news for you, and then we'll look at the most added list. Danny Salazar, okay. Forearm tightness. Salazar has now had shoulder fatigue, elbow discomfort, elbow inflammation, and forearm tightness this year. Meanwhile, we don't know about Jacob deGrom. We don't know about Dallas Keuchel and Steven Strasburg. He's not sure if he's going to pitch at all the rest of the year. Salazar, Strasburg, deGrom, Keuchel. How many of them do you think are okay to drop right now?
Probably all of them are okay to drop. Now, that's not to say you can expect them to just sit on waivers. There was one of our leagues, a head-to-head auction league, actually, head-to-head points league. Somebody dropped deGrom, and I went ahead and put in a claim for him because I had a bench spot. I felt like I could afford to just stash in there, and maybe something comes of it, maybe something doesn't, but I won him with a $0 bid, so it's not like there was a lot of competition for him. I think any pitcher, any player who, you know, is just, there's a chance he's out for the season, that means even if he does come back, it's going to be like for a week to 10 days, maybe, and it'll be too late for you to get anything out of him. So if you need the roster spot, if you need to go out there and pick up Foltynewicz, who I think is, may not even be 50% owned, so he's a good last minute add, then you're fine dropping any of these four.
You idiot. Foltynewicz is 51% owned. Come on, Scott White.
It's been a big surge this morning.
We're counting on you.
Big push.
Julio Urías might not make his two starts. He's scheduled to be a two-star pitcher, but it's very possible he only starts one game, which would be at the Yankees. Don't start Aaron Sanchez this week. I don't think he's going to start this week. He's also dealing with a blister on his finger, so don't start him. Aledmys Diaz is off the DL, but he did not start yesterday, Scott. Do you think Diaz becomes a regular for the Cardinals?
He's supposed to be in the lineup Monday, I saw, and I think that happens. Yeah, I don't know that I'd be rushing to get him back in my lineup. It would really depend on the alternatives.
Well, look, the most important thing is that there are huge Yankees games right now. And I get a chance, Scott, to see Clayton Kershaw pitch live in person on Wednesday. I hope I can swing it. That's an amazing opportunity. And I need some tickets, and I need me some SeatGeek. Let's get the SeatGeek app out. Everyone, download the SeatGeek app. Get $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek does all the work for you. You go on there, you search for an event. It pulls in tickets from multiple sites. You'll get four or five sources for a game. You'll get better prices because of it. You're going to find all of the bargains. Let SeatGeek do all the scouring on the internet for you. Why go online and search one place when SeatGeek will search that place plus several others? That's why I use only SeatGeek now for tickets to games and concerts. And that's why I tell everyone about SeatGeek, whether it's on this podcast or off the air. Honestly, anytime somebody mentions an event, I say, you got to try SeatGeek, and I can get you $20 off your first purchase. I know it's the best product out there for tickets. When you search multiple sites, you get better results, you save money. And SeatGeek also shows you the view from your seats and ranks the tickets by value, or you can sort by price if you just want to get in the stadium. It's a great app, and we're giving you those $20 back, and here's how you do it. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FANTASY. Very excited about SeatGeek. Take advantage of it. Save some money. Most added here. Nova and Foltynewicz are numbers 1 and 2. Kevin Kiermaier is number 3. The touch, the feel of cotton is number 4.
I'm not groaning at your song. I'm just groaning at everybody rushing out to get him when it's pretty clear he's not making two starts.
It's tough though, because people don't know that, you know?
I guess.
So
people who aren't listening to the podcast, clearly.
Yeah, that's why you gotta listen to the
podcast. Because
Mania's
coming back midweek. He's coming back midweek, and that starts going to get pushed back, but whatever. Don't listen to me. Go ahead and pick up your cotton.
Andrew Cashner is a two-star pitcher at Atlanta and at Philadelphia. He's number five most added player.
Yeah, he's okay. I don't know. I'd definitely take a long look at my one start options before I turn to him, even with those good matchups.
Kendrys Morales. Now, this is a guy I would definitely pick up. I did pick him up over the weekend. It didn't help. 69% owned and number three hitter in baseball over the last 2 weeks. So Morales is out there. Jung Ho Kang is 64% owned. We've been comparing these guys a lot. Morales, Gong, Byron Buxton. They're all in the top 10 on the most added list. Who would be your favorite there?
Gong for sure, because I think you're getting a must-start player rest of season. Though I was adding Morales in a couple leagues myself. I do worry that we're jumping on this hot streak like at the end of it, since it's already lasted 2 weeks. But at the same time, I mean, there is a track record of success here. He was a must-start option himself last year, so. And he's eligible first and first base in the outfield. I'm just not sure there are many alternatives at those positions on the waiver wire in most leagues.
How about Seth Lugo? He really should be a left-handed pitcher. I don't think he is. But Lugo is, I have him as 40% owned. On the website here, we have him as 33% owned. So either way, pretty available. And 240 ERA, not a lot of strikeouts, but gets Minnesota this week. One start, Seth Lugo. You like him?
Not really. I'm not buying this performance from him. He had like a 6.30 ERA at AAA, which is a hitter's league, but still AAA, and no strikeouts, like you said. So I think there's some serious regression coming. It could come any start.
And another two-star pitcher that's kind of tempting this week is Willie Peralta at Cincinnati, but also at the Cubs.
Yeah, I have him behind even Cashner. It's not unthinkable to add him and start him, but I think you're banking a little too much on two-star pitchers by doing that.
So here's an email that just came across the news desk, just came across the inbox here. In our 16-team podcast league, Curtis Granderson, who's 74% owned, just got picked up. And a guy who's 74% owned is not available in a 16-team league very often. But this time of year, when there are only a few people paying attention to the waiver wire, you will get something like that. You know, you'll get a guy like Granderson who was dropped and now is added. You'll get a guy like Hunter Pence who was dropped and might be available in your league randomly. Granderson is a guy I actually wanted to talk about. Homered at Atlanta on Friday. They gave him a home run in four straight games. Then he went hitless Saturday and Sunday. Do you trust Curtis Granderson in your lineup this week?
No, but I do have him in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this week. That's a group that's limited to players owned in 80% of leagues or less. It's definitely a boom or bust play. I think, you know, the home runs are basically all he delivers when he does deliver something. And yeah, I mean, it's now four out of six games where he's homered instead of four straight. But the good news is the Mets are facing, I believe, nothing but right-handers this week. I'm pulling it up here. They are facing all right-handers this week. So don't have to worry about Granderson sitting, and you would expect him to be at his best against right-handers.
What about Carlos Gomez? He led off on Saturday and he homered twice. Any interest in Gomez?
He has these big games that make me take a closer look at him, like, oh, maybe he's turning things around. And then it's like he had five hitless games before that. So
yeah.
I'm not really thinking he's any different, Gomez.
Let's see. Yasiel Puig started against a righty on Saturday, but he sat on Sunday against a righty. Matt Kemp homered against the Mets on Friday and Saturday. Just not really a guy I like that much. But
Matt Kemp?
Yeah. He's okay.
Yeah, I mean, with outfield in the state it is, he's pretty much unbenchable.
I mean, I probably... wow, I'm thinking about what I'm about to say. I think I'd start Kendrys Morales over him. I don't know the matchups, but if they're fairly even, I don't think I'd go Morales over him.
I you could argue Kemp is just as high right now, and he's certainly had the better season, so I don't know if I can agree with you on that.
Fair enough. Corey Dickerson, 48% owned. He has four straight multi-hit games with a home run and three doubles. How are the matchups for Corey Dickerson this week?
They are not great. I think I'd be, if I was going to start a Rays outfielder, I think it would be Kiermaier over Dickerson. Though I am curious what Dickerson's numbers are over a longer span of time, because I feel like
he's having
a pretty good second half.
Yeah, but then he gets ice cold. I think he's had like two good streaks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust it.
No, I wouldn't trust it either. I'm just wondering more about for next year how plausible a bounce back season is. But we can worry about that later.
Remember on Friday we talked about how droppable Jonathan Scope is, and we said, yeah, he's going to get hot soon. Well, he homered twice over the weekend. Those were his only hits. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with Scope. Just keep him under radar,
well,
I guess.
Well, you pour it in the little white
lid
that you twist off, and then you gurgle it. You're careful not to swallow it.
Always a Listerine guy, Scott.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know much about that.
And a couple of catchers had two homer games. Matt Wieters homered twice. Mike Zunino homered twice. He said he made some mechanical adjustments at the plate. He was pretty cold before that. And Terrence Gore, 6 steals since September 3rd. I think, what, like really deep leagues, you just need steals. You're getting absolutely nothing else. This is a pinch runner who steals bases at will. Terrence Gore, you know, that's it.
Yeah, no thanks.
Okay. All right, let's look at some of the pitchers. I know we have a bunch of emails, so we'll save time to make sure we answer your questions and get you ready for Fantasy Week 24. But studs being studs, Jose Fernandez struck out 14. He's done that multiple times this year. And
nice to see coming off the start where he allowed 12 hits, though.
Yeah. Now, Felix Hernandez bounced back from 2 bad starts, but he only struck out 2 A's in 6 scoreless innings. That's kind of what he's been doing. And somehow Felix has not faced the Astros this year. Would you start Felix Hernandez against the Astros this week?
I had a dilemma between him and one start Chris Tillman against the Rays. And I went with Tillman, even though second start back from the DL. I just have a higher level of trust in.
Does that mean you'd go with a 2-start Fultonevich over Felix Hernandez?
I believe it does, yeah.
My goodness. J-Hap. J-Hap with a good bounce-back start over the weekend. At the Angels, would you start J-Hap?
Yep, feel good about that one.
Oh, all right. And obviously you're starting Rich Hill. There's a bit of a risk because even in this near-perfect game, the signs of a blister were coming back. But overall, I mean, I just want to talk about how amazing Rich Hill is. He's got a 12-3 record, a 180 ERA, over a strikeout per inning, a .96 whip. And last year, he didn't pitch that much, but he pitched amazingly. I mean, Rich Hill has justified like a second-round pick based on the way he's pitched over the last 2 seasons. He hasn't done it long. Nobody's going to take him that early, but my God, he's good.
Yeah, just the percentages. It's been Kershaw-like, but it's why you can't always just look at the percentages, because this blister issue doesn't seem to be going away. And I think it's something that's certainly going to have to downgrade him next year. If nothing else, just the fact it's been so long since he's really handled a starting pitcher workload over a full season, that's going to pull down his value. But he'll be a sleeper again next year, even though, you know, he'll be a little more of a known commodity.
Rich Hill, folks. Studs being studs, part 2. These guys are owned in over 80% of leagues. They're not exactly studs. Chris Tillman against Tampa Bay. Scott says he's starting him. Matt Moore, 11 strikeouts on Sunday. He gets St. Louis this week at home. Ian Kennedy gets the White Sox at home. He just pitched very well against the White Sox, although he did walk 4, but only gave up 1 hit in 6 scoreless innings. And Bartolo Colon has Minnesota at home. Matt Moore, Ian Kennedy, and Bartolo Colon, are they starts for you this week?
Not for sure. I might mix in a 2-start Fultonevich, if that's the example we're going to keep going with, over them. I think I probably would. But at the same time, I wouldn't be afraid to start any of them I wouldn't dig much deeper on the 2-start pitcher list to replace them.
Adam Wainwright, at San Francisco, start or sit?
I'd lean towards sitting, but again, he's startable.
Yordano Ventura, home against Oakland.
No, I'd rather not.
Carlos Rodon, home against Cleveland.
Yep. I'm finally starting to jump on the Rodon bandwagon.
All it took was 9 strikeouts against Kansas City.
I mean, 7 straight quality starts.
Yeah.
I wish he was pitching deeper into games, but it's hard to knock the consistency, especially when the strikeout rate is as good as it is.
Carlos Rodon, 1.85 ERA in his last 7. And Kevin Gausman, oh man, he's pitching well, but he's at Boston this week.
Yeah, that probably eliminates him. I was tempted to, in a shallower league, 10-team league, where I had quite a few good starting pitching options, I was tempted to bench Tanaka at Boston. Ultimately opted against it, but
yeah,
that's one scary lineup.
Yeah, sure is. Even though Yoan Moncada is not really a part of that lineup. I don't know if I mentioned that. You did drop Moncada. I can't remember if I said it, but you
did
drop him.
I don't think you did. Yeah, I did drop Moncada. I think everybody should. It sounds like they saw enough from him as a starter to decide they're better off with Travis Shaw, and he'll be mostly a pinch runner, Moncada. Some at bats, but not nearly regular enough for you to use him in fantasy.
Let's talk about these duds over the weekend, studs being duds, and tell me if you're starting Zach Greinke against the Dodgers, Jake Arrieta against Milwaukee, and Cole Hamels against Oakland.
I am sitting Zach Greinke in a 24-team league.
Whoa!
Adam. Now, I'm sitting him in favor of Jared Eichhoff, so it's not, Scrubby McScrubberson, but it's not far off.
Wow.
So I think that makes him a sit.
Okay, what about Hamels against Oakland and Arrieta?
I feel fine about both of them. I think Arrieta's supporting cast covers up his inadequacies more than Greinke's supporting cast does, but it has been worrisome here for Arrieta lately. And in this most recent start, he was saying he really wasn't feeling well toward the end of this start, and it was kind of a tale of two starts kind of start. Like he collapsed late.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, he was sick on Saturday, Arrieta, and then I think he pitched like 5 innings, gave up 1 run, and then fell apart in the 6th. And he said he ran out of gas. So
yeah, no energy at all. He said. So.
When I read that, it kind of quelled my fears for my 0 leagues in which I own Jake Arrieta and won't be
but
starting
him. It hasn't just been this one isolated start for him either, to be fair to those who are fearful.
Yeah, I know, but it also hasn't been like every start's been bad for Arrieta.
No, it hasn't. I don't think anyone could really consider sitting him.
Right. All right, how about these guys? Well, first of all, Clayton Kershaw at the Yankees. Are you cool with him? Because he only threw 66 pitches and gave up 2 runs on 5 hits in 3 innings at the Marlins.
I'm actually not cool with him. I think he's still... He showed he's still plenty capable as a pitcher, but I'm just not sure how long it's going to take for him to get built up to for the innings to have a quality start. I would guess probably not in this next start.
So let's...
Or 5 innings.
Let's do the two-star pitcher versus Clayton Kershaw game.
Okay.
Daniel Norris.
In a points league, I think so. I think I'd go Norris.
Andrew Cashner.
I'll go Cashner.
CC Sabathia, Dodgers and at the Red Sox.
Again, I'm going to make the points league distinction here. I just think there's not going to be nearly enough innings for Kershaw to get a point total you're satisfied with, so I'll go with Sabathia.
Shelby Miller.
That's digging too far.
We reached the point there. Totally. So Kershaw over Shelby Miller. Yeah. And how about Marco Estrada? He's got Tampa Bay, and the last 2 times he has faced Tampa Bay since the beginning of August, both starts were bad.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That did influence my decision with him because he was part of that Tillman versus Felix Hernandez. It was kind of a triumvirate there. And again, I went with Tillman instead, in part because Estrada's last couple against Tampa Bay is as favorable of a matchup as it would seem to be. Hasn't gone well for him, and not much has gone well for him lately. Maybe tied to, well, no, they're actually back down to a five-man rotation and it hasn't straightened him out.
So. I actually broke it down though. Okay. So Estrada has only one good start in his last six. Mm-hmm. Four of them have been terrible. The one good start was on 5 days rest. He has only had two starts during this bad stretch on regular 5 days rest. One was good and one was bad.
But now he's so out of sync that even if that was the reason, and I don't know how many days rest it'll be between this next start and his last one, so I don't even know if that's
probably regular.
Part of the consideration.
Probably regular rest. But it doesn't matter to me. It's like he's been so bad.
Right, his ERA's up, I think it's 370 now, pretty close to that. So it's suddenly, he just doesn't look like he's that valuable anymore.
Yeah, Marco Estrada. Okay, Scott, let's just do start and sit because I have a ton of pitchers here. John Gray, home against San Diego.
I guess I'd lean sit, though. That's a pretty good matchup.
Jared Eichhoff, home against Pittsburgh. You're starting him.
I am starting him over Greinke in that one league. I don't think most fantasy owners will have to resort to that, but I'm clearly not afraid to start him.
Would you start him over Kershaw?
I think so.
No,
yeah, I mean,
really?
Kershaw's
a one-start Eichhoff?
Kershaw's just a flat sit for me this week.
Really?
Hopefully just one more start. But I want to see him at least go five before I put him in my lineup the next time. He needs to go at least deep. If not a quality start, he needs to go at least deep enough for a win.
Well, Kershaw threw 66 pitches. He just wasn't very efficient. So
well,
if he throws 80...
66 pitches...
No, I know, but he throws 80, 85 this start. That could easily get you five innings. Could get you six. He's that good.
It could, but I'd rather... Like, I don't feel like even a six-inning Kershaw is... There's a limit to what he's going to do for your fantasy team, you know, in one start. And that's the best-case scenario we're talking about. So it just doesn't seem... The reward just doesn't measure up to the risk to me there.
In a world of hypotheticals, if you guaranteed me six innings from Clayton Kershaw, I would have to start him over Jared Eichhoff.
Okay, I can agree with that statement, but that is a hypothetical world that we are not living in.
Brandon Finnegan, home against Pittsburgh, start or sit?
Are we sure he's going to make the start? I do think he has one start left.
I don't know what the deal is here. Like a month ago, I was worried about his innings.
Yeah, he's probably a sit. The walks have been an issue the last couple starts anyway.
All right, Finnegan. And Zach Davies, you know, having a nice year, Zach Davies. And so seven runs, I think, over his last four starts and 27 strikeouts, about a strikeout per inning, just doing some quick math. He's at the Cubs, though, this week, Davies. Last time he faced the Cubs at home, he was good, but on the road, he was terrible. Starter sit, Zach Davies.
Yeah, I think the matchup ruins him, though. I'm thinking he might be a sleeper for me next week. I've talked about how dominant his changeup is, and the way Colton Wong described it after this last start, I thought was interesting. He said there was just, they couldn't see any spin on the ball. None of the Cardinals hitters. They couldn't get a read on it whatsoever. And that's obviously a very good thing for a changeup. That's what makes a knuckleball so effective is lack of spin. So that kind of reaffirms how dominant of a pitch it is.
And you said Davies would be a sleeper for you next week. Did you mean next year?
I meant next year, yeah.
Okay. More pitchers to consider. James Paxton against Houston, start or sit?
Sit.
Blake Snell at Baltimore.
Sit.
Luke Weaver. I'm not going to sing it today. At San Francisco.
Luke Weaver.
There you go.
Start.
Start.
Really like
what
he's doing.
He's good.
Yeah.
I didn't mention him, but Kohler at Philadelphia, Eduardo Rodriguez home against the Yankees. Luke Weaver's got to be, he's probably ahead of those guys, right?
Oh, yeah. I would say so. The strikeout to walk rate has been really impressive.
Yeah. Sorry, I neglected that one at the top of the show. More starting pitchers. Joe Musgrove, home against Texas. No way. Texas is like the Red Sox AOS version. They are, no.
I'm surprised their point differential isn't higher. And I realize they just got two-fifths of their starting rotation back, so maybe that has something to do with it in Holland and Lewis. But I feel like they should be more dominant as a win, as far as win loss record goes, than they've been. But that being said, good offense. Yeah. I think Musgrove's a sit.
Colby Lewis home against Oakland.
I'll sit him. 3 home runs in his first start back. Need to see more.
If anybody starts Luis Sessa this week, you deserve to lose. He's at Boston.
Yes, you do deserve to lose.
Seth Lugo at Minnesota. Scott's not that excited about it. Tyler Skaggs, home against Seattle.
I'd be okay starting him. I wasn't able to make it happen in any of my leagues, but he's looked much better his last 3 starts, I think it is. Seems to be getting on track again.
Chad Bettis, home against San Diego.
There's a guy with riding a good 3-start stretch, but just so little to back it up that I still can't trust him, even with San Diego on tap.
Hector Santiago at Detroit.
No way.
And then we've got these deep league guys that have been, you know, all right lately. Ubaldo Jimenez gets Tampa Bay. Like I mentioned, Jose Urena gets Philadelphia on the road. Ruby De La Rosa is home against Colorado. He just came off a DL. And Jake Thompson gets Pittsburgh and Christian Friedrich at Colorado. Any name I said there that you'd want to pick up or start?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That works. What is this Ubaldo Jimenez garbage? He's got a 283 RA in his last 4 starts.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. I've been faked out enough by him in the past that I'm not going to buy into this 4-start stretch, especially since... You know, most of his fake outs at least have a high strikeout rate. This one doesn't.
Yeah. Some more news and notes. Jordan Zimmerman's next start is going to be skipped. Lorenzo Cain said he's probably done for the season, but the Royals would not commit to that. Wayne Chen could return soon. Josh Harrison, he left Saturday's game with a groin injury. Harrison could be out for the year. And Matt Whistler is expected to start on Tuesday. Is Whistler a 2-star pitcher?
No. I don't believe he will be because... Well, I guess it's just a guess. I assume the Braves will make a 6th starter in at some point during the week. Fulton-Evich is the only Braves starter I feel confident will make 2 starts. Oh, you know what? They're only playing 6
there
games. That's why.
There you go.
I do want to mention something related to those notes, though. You said Lorenzo Cain is probably out for the year. That would be good news for Gerard. It's Gerard Dyson.
Gerard.
Right? Yeah. Because that would mean pretty much every day at bats for him, and he has been running much more frequently of late. I think he's only about 25% owned. Great steal source. You mentioned Terrence Gore at the top of the show. I don't think you have to go that deep if you need steals. Dyson's still widely available.
Scott, we have a ton of emails. And, you know, look, these shows are obviously a little bit different, especially the Monday show. This is a lineup setting show. So pardon me, this might not be the most exciting end of a podcast ever, but I want to do my best to read just about every email we get because I appreciate everybody listening and I want to help the people out before the lineups start. So I'm going to skip over keeper questions, save those for another day. This is from Drew. I have a first round bye next week. I've held on to DeGrom. Do I just drop Strasburg now and either stream or roster Stanton, who's on waiver? So he could drop Strasburg for a streaming pitcher or Strasburg for... Giancarlo Stanton with a first round bye. What would you do if you were Drew?
I mean, as much as matchups are changing, I don't know that it would really behoove you to pick up to be forward thinking with a starting pitcher at this point because it could be a Matt Boyd situation and you guess wrong. So I'll say go pick up Stanton. I think he's a better stash than Strasburg.
Here's an email from Todd. It's not a lineup question, but it's pretty interesting. He says, hey, Joe, Lou, and Dusty.
Are those Central? No, those are Cubs managers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the last 3 managers to take the Cubs to the playoffs. Good for you. Looking for some input on pitching categories in our 6x6 categories league. The problem is with the 6 category, losses. I've hated it from the start, but initially it was added to prevent owners from streaming the Mike Fires of the world at the end of the week. To rack up wins and strikeouts. However, losses, the category has run its course and guys have finally realized it's crap. It's a luck-based category and no one likes Mad Bum going 8 innings, giving up 1 run and getting penalized with a loss. We have quality starts, strikeouts, saves, ERA, and whip. Any suggestions on a replacement for losses or solutions for the streaming problem, if it is even a problem. We've thrown out holds, batting averaged against, or eliminating it and going with a 6x5 setup. What do you think?
Well, I think if it's daily lineups, I really don't think I think the best way around, people just totally spamming the day by day pitcher matchups is to make it weekly transactions, weekly ad drops. Go ahead and make it daily lineups, fine, but weekly ad drops. And that way, they only have so many pitchers they can choose to get in their lineup on any one day, the ones they could roster at the beginning of the week, basically. So that would be my solution.
I think you should just do a transactions limit. And, I've played in two leagues now the last 2 years that have been daily. One of them was one transaction per day. Well, no, it was 7 a week. And if you had a 10-day week, it was 10 per week. You could make as many as you wanted every day, but you were cut off 7 per week. The last one I'd played, and the one I just lost yesterday, was 6 transactions per week, but only 75 for the year. So that's actually an average of 3 per week. Thought that was a little bit low, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's a way to prevent streaming, and that's I recommend that.
It's a way to limit streaming.
Yes, yes.
Which, may be good enough. I don't like that as much. I'm really digging the weekly ad drops, Adam. I know you don't like it, but it particularly if you're somebody like me who plays in, a dozen leagues a year, it's nice to know you're not going to be beaten to the waiver wire constantly because, you can only check one league at a time.
No, I wouldn't say I don't like it.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Everybody has an equal opportunity to pick up the hot pickups of the week. I like that.
Oh, wait a second. You're saying, I don't like it. I thought you meant that you do daily lineups, but your roster's locked. Like basically, you can pick a guy up on Tuesday, but he's not on your team until the next week. You're saying all the ad drops happen on Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if there is a way to do it the way you're talking about, but if there is, that could work too.
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool hybrid. But yeah. No, I don't like it, Scott, because most people don't play in as many leagues as you.
No, even so. Most people can't devote as much time to fantasy baseball as I can. This is kind of getting off track, but I don't like the idea that a person with the most time to invest in the league has that big of an advantage. Because it's an advantage anyway. I just think it should be fairer than that because not everybody is as flexible. People have families to take care of, Adam. They can't.
Yeah.
They can't just sit on their phone making ad drops and following baseball news.
I don't do it on the phone. I'm a computer guy, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
Actually, I'm with you. But
good old laptop.
I feel like we're the minority. We're the crusty old guys clinging to the past.
Yeah. Well, we're the smart ones. Now, Alex wants to know if you would start Ryan Schimpf, who's one of your sleepers this week, over Will Myers, because Myers is better at home.
Man, he's been so bad.
I know. And he had an enticing weekend.
He did. It was an okay weekend. I think I'd stick with Myers, but I wouldn't blame you if you didn't want to.
Head-to-head points league. This is from Gord. Belt, Gurriel, or Asdrubal Cabrera at utility? Belt, Gurriel, or Asdrubal Cabrera?
Feel pretty confident saying Gurriel. We should have talked about him at the top of the show as a player I was excited to add, because he's still widely available. I just don't think he was available in any of my leagues. But 3 home runs in his last 5 games, so he's showing real power, and he struck out 1 every 9 at-bats. So
yeah.
I think he's a fixture in the Astros lineup now, and I'm really excited by that potential.
Pomeranz for 2 starts or Cueto for 1? Pomeranz is Baltimore and the Yankees at home.
Points league, I think you gotta go Pomeranz, but maybe in Roto you stick with Cueto.
Javier from Houston. Dear Boris Spezio and White.
Boris Spezio.
What? Really?
They're Scots.
Thank you.
Right.
All right. Semifinal matchup in a points league. He needs four starting pitchers from this list. Kyle Gibson, two starts. Jose De Leon, two starts. Rich Hill at Arizona. Ivan Nova, two starts. Chris Tillman, Clayton Kershaw, and Colin McHugh. All right. Can we eliminate Kyle Gibson?
Yes.
So can we eliminate Colin McHugh?
Yes, we can.
So we have Jose De Leon for two, Rich Hill, Ivan Nova for two starts, Tillman and Kershaw. You have to sit one of them.
All right, who sent this email again?
Javier.
Okay, Javier. So you're going to sit Kershaw, which we already talked about, and that's it?
Yeah, I already eliminated Gibson and McHugh.
Okay, so he's going to start De Leon, Hill, Nova, and Tillman. Yeah, I like that.
This is from Sebastian. I have Garrett. Oh, dear Ren and Stimpy. Which one are you, Scott?
Probably Ren.
Yeah, right? I'm the annoying, like, neurotic Stimpy, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No, Stimpy's the big... No, I'm Ren. I'm the neurotic one. Ren is the little dog, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I think we're both probably Rens, but maybe we don't have a Stimpy.
We have a lot in common, Scott. I have Garrett Cole on the DL. I need to drop one of the following. Zach Davies, Carlos Rodon, John Gray, Michael Pineda, and Francisco Liriano.
I would drop... I mean, I think you're fine dropping Pineda or Liriano because I don't think either is usable. I'll say Liriano's the one I'm dropping.
Okay, here's E-Man from Berkeley. Dear R2 and 3PO, he is in the finals and needs to know Quintana or Rodon this week.
Quintana.
Yeah,
he's making two starts, I think.
Quintana's not... Oh, is he?
Pretty sure. I'll double check since I've said it now. Got to cover our bases.
He hasn't been that bad lately, has he? Yeah, he is making two starts. You're right.
Yeah, so it's a no-brainer.
Okay,
good. The last couple starts have been shaky, but it's only two.
And would you pick up Kevin Kiermaier or Byron Buxton to start over David Dahl?
No, I wouldn't. I think they're both fine pickups in a five outfielder league, especially Roto, but not over Dahl. Dahl's locked in. He's a must-start option for me.
John in KCMO, Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Paul and Art. Oh, you're not going to know that, Scott. Paul and Art?
Nope.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Ah.
All right, no penalty for strikeouts in this league. Head-to-head points. Would you sit either Chris Davis, Bryce Harper, or Gregory Polanco for Byron Buxton? Would you sit Chris Davis, Bryce Harper, or Gregory Polanco for Byron Buxton?
I don't think so. Still a lot of doubts about Buxton.
Would you sit Freddie Freeman or Daniel Murphy for Yanhervis Solarte?
No, I don't see how you could justify that. No way. No.
Well, Solarte's got the matchups, right? He's got the Coors Field.
Yeah, that's putting too much emphasis on matchups. It's one thing for pitchers, but hitters, I mean, Freeman and Murphy are just, you don't even question them.
Stan from Roanoke, Indiana. Dear Adam and Scott, that's probably you and me, but it could be me and my middle name, Adam Scott. I am in the league semifinal. Should I drop Dallas Keuchel for a two-start Jeremy Hellickson?
Sure. I mean, I'm not super excited about Hellickson this week, but I just don't think there's any reason to hold on to Keuchel.
This is from Michael, who says, good morning, L, Hopper, and Dustin. That would be Stranger Things. Thank you for watching that, Michael. It's awesome. I won the regular season of my Roto League. I pocketed 250. Way to go.
Wow.
All right, so help him out in the playoffs. He's a huge Blue Jays fan, and he wants to start Jose Bautista, but he could also start Hanley Ramirez. Do I drop Bautista to pick up Hanley Ramirez?
What format did he say it was?
It's a Roto League.
Mm.
And it is... Oh, it is an OBP league, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
No average.
Man. I can't get behind dropping Bautista. I know he's batting like 220, no extra base hits in September, but I don't think it's related to the injury because he had a few home runs, a couple home runs right when he came back from that. I think it's just a mini slump. I hope it's just a mini slump because I'm going to advise you to stick with Bautista.
Josiah in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania needs help here with power. He needs some home runs. Who should I pick up? Juck Peterson, Randall Grichuk, Kevin Kiermaier, or Curtis Granderson?
Ooh. All right, what did you say? Who sent the email again?
So Scott is asking me this so he can look it up in his inbox because I didn't send it to him. This is from Josiah. It says playoff matchup.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he needs some power. So Juck Peterson, Randall Grichuk, Kevin Kiermaier, or Curtis Granderson?
If you specifically need power, probably Granderson. Like I said, six righties. Hope he stays hot with the home runs.
Not Grichuk?
Not Grichuk. Not for this week.
Okay. And Chris from Toronto says, "Dear Robert, Stannis, and Renly." Scott doesn't know that. It's Game of Thrones.
No clue.
Those are Baratheons. I love the show, despite Adam's affection for the Yankees. Thank you. I'm debating two start pitchers. Oh, no, I'm debating two pitcher spots this week. Head-to-head points. Tony Watson, 7 games. A two-start Jose De Leon, a two-start Willie Peralta. What do you think? Who would you go with? Tony Watson, Jose De Leon, Willie Peralta, start two.
I would go with Watson and De Leon.
This is from Andy in D.C. I have a Ledmus Diaz coming off the DL. Should I cut Jose Reyes and roll with Diaz or try to keep both for now?
I would try to keep both. Because I think either one is usable in a utility spot. I don't know who your utility option is, but if there's a hitter that's good enough for that, plus you know you have Reyes as an injury replacement at two positions, third base and shortstop, I think I'd hold on to both.
Also, did I mention this, Scott? AJ Pollock maybe out for the year. Can he cut AJ Pollock?
I'd be more likely to cut Pollock than Reyes. It's not as clear how much time Pollock is missing, but strained oblique, I believe it is.
Groin. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, that's probably a multi-week injury. It's just, I wish we had a little more definitive word on that.
Football in the groin! Football in the groin! Sorry. Finally, who do you like as an ad and who may help this week and hopefully beyond? Giancarlo Stanton, CJ Cron, Jerod Dyson.
I think CJ Cron, I mean, unless you specifically need steals, but I like what Crone's doing right now enough that I would pass on the possibility of Stanton coming back in the lineup and maybe being startable for a week.
Jason wants to know if Matt Boyd is a two-star pitcher.
Doesn't look like it, Jason.
Okay. This is from... Oh, no, I'm not going to read this. I'll read this tomorrow. It's not a lineup question. I will read this from Phil. Would you gamble on a two-start Jason Hamill or use Sam Dyson and put Duffy in at reliever? What? No, Hamill.
What?
No,
two-start Hamill?
Tyler Duffy?
I mean... No, he's saying Danny Duffy.
Oh, Danny Duffy. Gosh. Yes. Okay, that changes things.
So it's Duffy and Dyson or Hamill and Duffy. So basically I'm deciding between the closer Sam Dyson, or the two-start Hamill, who I don't think it's 100% clear Hamill's going to be a two-star pitcher either. It was already going to be a tough call as bad as he's been lately. The possibility of him just making that Tuesday start at St. Louis is enough that I'd make Sam Dyson the other pitcher I started.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's it. That's good stuff. I want to thank everybody for participating and being so great and listening to our show.
Thanks for being great, everybody.
Yeah, and everybody wants to know, Scott White, what's the deal with the Falcons running backs?
I wish I knew, Adam. I wish I did. I wish I was not expecting Tevin Coleman to be such a receiving option out of the backfield. So both need to be owned and just wait and see.
All right. Georgia Bulldogs or Miami Hurricanes. Where are you at with that one?
Bulldog. I don't even know what happened with the Hurricanes this week.
They won.
Yeah. It probably better than the Bulldogs did.
Oh, yeah, they struggled, huh?
Ugh.
But they won, right?
By, like, a point over, I can't even think of the name of the school. It was, like, some nobody school.
Oh, you're such a, just not even a fan. Just come on over to the dark side, all right?
Come on. Look, I watched the game. Here, let me tell you who they were playing. So you'll know I'm a fan, because okay. I have the internet in front of me. They were playing Nichols. All right?
Oh.
Nichols.
Yeah, I might have forgotten
that one, too.
Nichols,
too, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I'm just going to end the show with this. I had a very disappointing experience today. This is really, I hate when this happens. I had a bad lunch. I tried to sneak a sandwich in before we went on the show. I scarfed it down in like 5 minutes. It was just cold cuts, chicken and Swiss cheese. I didn't have time to put tomato on. I didn't add mayo. Like, I hate when I rush a lunch and don't get to enjoy it. Feel
that? I hate
that
too.
Yeah,
I feel you.
It sucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, might as well just eat a block of ramen noodles if you're going to do that.
It's obvious that I felt the show was too short and I wanted to extend it with nonsense, so I did.
Okay.
Mission accomplished.
All right, good job.
Good luck, everybody. Go ahead and win another league, another week, and we'll fight on and live to see week 25. But we're back tomorrow with another podcast. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. See you later. Machado or Bono or no.